Well, hey there, Soul Fam. Welcome back to another brand new episode of the Fire and Soul Podcast. This is the space to awaken your divine alignment and further activate your unique awakening experience. And of course, I'm learning right alongside you. And these refined adjustments in the direction of the show are really meaningful for me as I continue to listen to the intuitive pulls of what is needed and how I can utilize my gifts to be a more meaningful contribution in this most wild time. So we'll continue to shift as the calls are made. And I'm excited about what we are creating here, what we are building. I know the show is growing quite a bit. So welcome to all of the new listeners from all around the world. This is a really safe, supportive space for us to just continue to deepen into our own inner awakenings. And for those of you who enjoy catching conversations on YouTube, I'm excited to say that we're growing quite a bit over on the YouTube, over 80,000 views in just a few short months. And so every week we release the video component of this podcast on the YouTube channel. And then I've got a weekly live show that also exists there called Emergence. So if you haven't come over and you would enjoy that, I would be so excited to welcome you over there. And that's on YouTube at my name. So it's Michelle Sorrow, and that's spelled S-O-R-R-O. I'll also link that in the show notes for you just to tap on that really easily. Speaking of amazing conversations and just being able to connect in beautiful ways, I am thrilled and honored to bring you this really vulnerable, deep, heartfelt connection and conversation with Lisa Garr. I recently met her over at the Transformation Leadership Council meeting in New Orleans, like I've met a lot of new, amazing people in my life. And we had a really deep conversation one day at the lunch hour, and we just felt called to continue into that conversation and bring it to you here on the Fire and Soul Podcast. So many of you are going to be very familiar with her. She is the host and creator of The Aware Show. This is a transformational show about natural health, cutting-edge science, personal growth, and spirituality since 1999. On a mission to bring practical awareness to everyday life, Lisa hosts The Aware Show podcast, and in the LA market, listeners hear Lisa on KPFK-90.7 FM, and in New York on WBAI 99.5 FM. She's a regular weekend host on Coast to Coast AM that's syndicated on over 600 stations around the world. And her current series on Gaia is called Inspirations on Gaia. Utilizing her 20 plus years as a broadcaster, Lisa is a transformational story coach, helping thousands of people learn how to make their message, their mission, through her story coaching sessions and her best-selling book, Becoming Aware, How to Repattern Your Brain and Revitalize Your Life, that was published by Hay House. What I love about this conversation is that Lisa shares pretty openly and candidly about pretty challenging year last year, 2023. I know it was for so many of us, but she really finds her own alchemy, really, by taking a look at the dots and connecting them through radical honesty and responsibility, leaning into authentic communication, and then ultimately creating her own soul liberation through empowered reclamation and divine alignment. I loved this conversation, and I know that you are going to love it as well. So without further ado, my friends, please enjoy finding your authentic voice in challenging conversations with Lisa Garr. Cigar, this almost feels like a soulmate reunion. Like, I've been watching you and learning from you and been inspired by you for so long. And so to have you here on the Fire and Soul Podcast is such a dream. Welcome to the show.
It's my honor. I know. I feel like we're girlfriends. I love this. You're like someone I'd want to hang out with. So we're going to have that conversation today.
We are. So that's exactly what this is. It's like two girlfriends hanging out. We literally live about 5 minutes from one another. And just to offer up a little bit of context, we met, 6 weeks ago in New Orleans at the TLC meeting. And you and I had a really beautiful drop-in, and it was vulnerable. And there were some tears just because it was so open-hearted and such a beautiful connection. And I will never forget that moment. And so we're like, let's continue that conversation on the podcast.
Those are the best conversations too, because you get it, I get it. We're having these awarenesses and realizations, and we want to share them with the world. And they're not exclusive to just us. It's everyone is going through some level of something right now.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I feel like I keep saying it here. It's like humanity is in a shadow to light collective moment. You know, it's so, and that somehow eases it. But when we're going through our own stuff, it's quite something. And so I know we're going to share about some of that that's universal, and I believe can have a lot of alchemy and healing and potential for anything that anyone wants it to be. But before we go there, for those of my viewers and listeners that might not be as familiar with your beautiful mission, what do you want to share about your backstory that brought you to this now moment? There's a lot of ways to start there, and you've worked with the best, but I'll let you begin where you would like to.
Well, yes, I have now hosted the Aware Show, which is a radio show and television show, for 20 plus years. And I have interviewed, you know, probably 6,000 different best-selling authors and experts in their fields, practitioners, anything in the mind, body, science field. And I love combining all of that, mind, body, spirit. Mm-hmm. It's all the same thing, really, and different perspectives. But I started not because I wanted to be a broadcaster, but because I had a near-death experience. I had a very difficult accident where I was a professional cyclist and I fell during a race and cracked my helmet, and it catapulted me into a place that I didn't know existed. And it wasn't exclusive to me. It was an area in my brain I maybe accessed that experienced oneness. Mm-hmm. And I got to witness and immerse myself in the feeling that there are no separations between what we want and who we are and mm-hmm. humanity as a whole. It's all the same thing. And I was always a goal-oriented person, or get that or climb that mountain or do that thing. And it's not that at all. I, after the accident, was went through about a year and a half of brain recovery exercises and neurofeedback. And then I got into classes on intuition. Mm-hmm. And I created more in those intuition and meditation classes than I ever did trying to get that goal, because all I was doing was becoming it. And the phone would ring, becoming it. And the voice would come in, becoming and feeling it. And magic happens. And I get chills talking about it, because it's, as I said, it's not exclusive to me. And I don't recommend anybody goes and knocks themselves out. I just know that we all have this incredible magic around us, this portal, you could call it dimension, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. God's a good name, universe, whatever. It's this energy that we can all tap into, and it's available to us to be able to create from. Mm-hmm. And it fuels us. And it is, as long as you're living this intentional life where you're talking to God, the universe, and being kind to people, please, that things start to work out. And I know, because it wasn't always this way. I touched base with you because I had yet another horrible accident last year.
A cycling accident at that. So it was like, how many years apart were these accidents?
20.
So that's 2020, right? When you really look back on that with hindsight. So yeah. So can you, I remember talking to Ariel Ford, actually, who's not my friend, but she's, I know, a close friend of yours. And she was giving me some advice on my book endeavor right now. Yes. And then she said, you got to talk to Lisa Gar. Oh, wait, you can't. Shoot, she was just in a bicycle accident. I was like, wait, what? Then we were waiting with bated breath. Me and a bunch of people that really love you, hadn't met you yet. I'm like, okay, she's all right. She's resurfaced on social. It was terrifying to not know, right? But please, yeah, share what happened from your perspective.
That was awful. You know, I really learned so much from, now I'm calling the first accident, which is so embarrassing in many ways, that I had such an epiphany from that, an awakening, and I created the Aware Show from that experience, because I wanted to broadcast to the world what I just learned about the human potential and all of the amazing people that I was interviewing that teach this incredible potential and help us wake up this potential, and all these great people.
And 20 something years later, here I am again. I had, I was riding with a pack of guys and they crashed in front of me, and somehow bikes flew back towards me and I went sailing over a center median and I got hurt the worst. How? I don't know. I was in the back of this pack and it's still, well, I guess this is where we dropped into, is that when you get the second wake up call, Michelle, it's devastating. It's like, how did I not get this the first time? Where did I go wrong? All of this self-doubt and self-judgment. And I was, you know, I broke both of my collarbones because of the impact of my head on the concrete again. And the impact was so harsh that it broke both of my shoulders. And so here I am in the ICU. I thought I was paralyzed, Michelle. It was the scariest moment of my life. I just remembered nobody was telling me anything. The doctors didn't know because I couldn't move my arms. And I didn't know I had damaged I broke the collarbones where all of the nerve bundles live that communicate from the brain to the arms. So I was frozen. And I was going through MRIs and CAT scans and all of these things, and nobody knew what was wrong. And I was just in ICU and it was terrifying. I looked at my husband and I said, is our life different now? Is our life changed? Are we living a different life without any arms? Mm-hmm. And he was so awesome. I mean, he just stood there and just held me. And I mean, that's such a moment. It's such a humbling, difficult moment. Mm-hmm. And my heart goes out to people who are in that experience. And I get it. It's terrifying. And I happened to be one of the ones that recovered. Now, I went through, again, lots of amazing neurofeedback and neurotherapy, this thing called cognomovement, which is, I have my little ball here. Every day I do these eye exercises, and it's a most amazing tool for concussion recovery. And I learned that concussions are retroactive. So what I didn't heal 23 years ago, I have now been able to heal again with this cute little ball. I mean, it's amazing. This therapy is incredible. But it was a very humbling experience for me. And I looked and I said, how did I get here again, Michelle? How did I do this again? And that was 5 months ago, 6 months ago now. And as soon as it turned January this year, I met and started working with an amazing healer by the name of Darren Weissman. And he has a program called the Lifeline Program. And it was literally me on the floor of my closet crying. And I just said to him, and my dear, amazing best friend producer met him on a ship, and I'd known him for 20 years from Hay House. We were Hay House authors together. And I met him at I Can Do It. And he had a program called Lifeline. And I'm sitting there on the closet floor going, Darren, I need a lifeline. Every area of my life was falling apart. Every area. And he helped me see that I had at the beginning of last year, I lost a big contract from something I didn't pay attention to. We had a flood in our house that took out two rooms.
Devastating. It was like your kitchen, right? You didn't have a kitchen.
No. We didn't have a kitchen for like a year. Yeah. We were living off of a hot plate, and because we couldn't deal with it. And then my daughter moved across the world, which was heartbreaking for me. Great for her. She needed to do that. But I really missed my best friend. That was hard for me as a mom. She's 20 at the time, 19, actually, when she moved. And she went to go be a professional athlete and pursue her dreams. And then she was falling and crashing, and it was like, oh my God, she was way over her head in that endeavor. And I felt I need to go help her. And I was scheduled to get on a flight and pick her up from a race that she had just completed 3 days after my accident.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yep. So here I am on the deck in an ambulance. She's in the middle of a 3-day intense stage race where she had like a stomach virus. And I couldn't tell her. And it was just awful. And then several other things happened that the rest of last year. And I called, you know, Darren on the floor of my closet on that January this year. And I said, what do I do? What happened? And he showed me I was in a field of attracting victimhood, victimization from lifelong unconscious patterns, unresolved, unaware, completely unaware that were running my life. And the fuller you play out, like I was playing full out in my life, the higher the risk, the higher the stakes, the further the fall. And I crashed.
Literally.
Yeah.
You know what's so beautiful on many levels, because I know that you get that life is always happening for us, as us, through us. What did you say? It's becoming us, right? But I look at that and I can see the gift in first feather brick truck sort of analogy. You've heard that. We even chatted about this in New Orleans. It was like, okay, first crash, feather. It was bad.
That was the truck.
I know.
I thought that was the truck. Now I'm into the semi.
Exactly. But there's something to be said for a phrase that I recently even shared on my YouTube channel, and it's what you birth, births you.
Yes.
And you've been in the longest birth ever, because when you birth the aware show, what does it cause us to then be responsible for? Being aware of everything about our own lives. Yes. So then universe, spirit, God, however we want to refer, says, let me give you another layer to look at now. Uh-huh. And so what if you could describe it? Were the gifts in the shadows that show up as victim energy, unconscious, but where's the gift in the shadow?
My dear, dear mentor, who Michael Tamora was, and he passed this last year, but he would have said it was another graduation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He says everything in life that's either a birth or a death or anything is a commencement to the next level. Mm-hmm. And he's commenced to the next level. And this was a huge commencement for me to graduate to the next level of awareness, mm-hmm. of awareness of the unconscious patterns. Mm-hmm. And becoming aware of the unconscious pattern is the first part. It's very difficult, and it does help to have somebody else shine this light on you. And the way you can do it yourself is take a look around your life and see what isn't working. Mm. There's your unconscious patterns right there in plain sight. Relationship not working, finance not working. Is there a health thing not working? Right in there is your unconscious pattern that is running that catastrophe in your life. It's right there in plain sight, but we can't see it because we are it. Mm-hmm. And yep, every relationship I was in, I was depositing my power into. I was giving up my power. I was giving up my power in my relationship with my husband, giving up my power in my relationship with my mother, giving up my power in relationship in business. Duh, it was all right there. And I luckily got to see it. And then I created this like visualization, and I looked down this timeline of my life and I saw all the places I deposited my power all the way back to my childhood when I abandoned my power as a child. And, you know, not my fault. It was just situations that I was in that we all were in where we lose our power and we lose our voice. And we lose our confidence and ability to stand our opinion. Mm-hmm. All those times, and that all imprints and carries over to now. And so what was I doing? Still doing the same thing.
Yeah, well, what can happen unconsciously is that we will overcompensate for that very thing that happened when we were little, right? And it's like, well, if I do this, then I don't have to feel the shadow aspect of that thing that happened that now I have unconsciously utilized as this is my identity, right? When it's never meant to be the identity, it is a beautiful pearl that is inside the shadow that basically begins to show us our truest purpose, right? That's in that through line of following it all the way, but it takes tremendous courage.
Yes.
Examine our lives the way that you've just described.
Well, it's so needed though. I mean, be honest with yourself and lean into the difficulty of it. Lean into the uncomfortable feeling and say, okay, I got to get comfortable feeling uncomfortable here. So what are you complaining about? Like, what are you complaining about in your life right now? Mm-hmm. And take that one thing that you just bitch and moan about all the time. Mm-hmm. In there is your unconscious pattern that's actually creating that level of complaint. And it's a hidden gem. It's hard to look at. And where are you avoiding? Where are you overachieving? Where are you perfectioning? Where are you covering up? Where are you so crafty and creative that you yourself can't see that pattern? We are very crafty and very creative. And we like to put shiny things on, you know, to cover things up. And it's just only going to help you to take a look at that. And I don't mean rip the Band-Aid off, go after the person, tell them they were wrong and you hate them and you never want to see them. I mean, it doesn't have anything actually to do with the other person.
There you go. Yes.
Honestly, yes. It has everything to do with you.
Yeah. So of course you would say that as the woman who's been hosting the Aware Show forever. So Ooh. Beautiful. Yeah. Whew. Are you familiar with the Gene Keys? Have you ever looked into that work? The Gene Keys?
No.
Oh, you might actually really enjoy it. It's kind of a spin-off in a deeper way from Human Design, but it really shows us that by design, we incarnated, and I know that you are definitely a believer in this, and everyone in my audience is, that we chose these specific shadows. So while we get a little older and lived life and had some success or not or whatever, we kind of keep, you know, meeting ourselves up against those same edges that you're talking about. If we're not aware that we chose all of this, then it can look like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? How come I didn't get this? You know, I thought I mastered this 10 years ago. I mean, that's my theme in certain areas, right? And then I'm like, oh, this is a lifelong shadow. But to the degree that I can catch it and get in and out, right? And then learn from it. So does any of that resonate? And if so, what and how would you expand on that for you in your own words?
Absolutely. I mean, I think for me, it's about how I show up in conversations, in relationships. How do I lean in and speak my truth? Because I have this huge intuition that screams at me all day long. And the conversation I'm having is not necessarily the same conversation that's going on here. Cause I think to myself, oh, I can never say that. Oh, that person would never hear that. Oh, they could never accept this. And so I tend to shut up. And how many of us do that? Do you ever do that?
Yeah. Are you kidding? Mine will sometimes occur as judgment. But yeah, I say to my friends and family, I'm like, oh, God bless you being friends and or connected with me because I want to coach everyone. And they didn't ask to be coached. So,
right.
So
exactly.
Similar, right. Similar.
Exactly. And maybe it's a female thing. I don't know, but it's definitely something that I had to say, all right, well, this is what's present. The longer this festers, the less, the bigger this is going to get. So I need to lean into this conversation and be honest with myself and be honest with this person. And also honest with where I'm showing up in all of it. It's taking responsibility and being accountable for your own level of how you have occurred in this situation, how your responsibility has shown up here. And it changes everything. It changes every conversation, every relationship. And I catch myself by thinking, so I'm still a cyclist, but I ride alone now. And I like the mountain better than the road because other people are scaring me right now. So I'm not going to do that. But I just get to hang out there and have my thoughts and whatever I might be unconsciously thinking about, like that's bothering me. I'm like, oh, need to deal with that. That's your unconscious saying, hey, I need attention. I need a little help or else I'm going to cry out and I'm going to create this conflict for you. And so you can see me. It's like a little five-year-old and okay. Say, okay, I need some negative attention here. I'm going to create a catastrophe for you. Pay yes. attention to me.
You won't pay attention any other way because you're so busy running your fancy, glamorous, you know, flashy life, right?
Yep. Yep.
So that you don't have to deal with this, right? But this is needing some love. Yes.
We are crafty.
That five-year-old message is we talk about that a lot here. It's so powerful.
Yes.
Yep. So what is she asking you to do right now?
Lean in. Yeah. Lean in every open loop, every conversation, and reclaim my power as to where I've left it.
What and does look, that look like?
Let me tell you, because let me tell you, how many of you of people that you've spoken with, or even yourself, you came in and there's this very bright, very powerful light, very capable human being, very capable. And how many times was that dim, squashed, put into competition with, jealous of, right? So what do? We learned how to not be that totally capable badass, right? So then if you let her out,
She becomes a little bit of a fire hose, right? A loose fire hose. So that's
so true. Oh my God. I'm so loving that analogy. Yes, yes. It's like, whoa, hold up.
This is who I am. And then you're like, okay, dial it back a little in order for people to hear you and you really to claim your power. You've got to like shine, just shine unapologetically and be the brightness of who you are with all that intuition, with all of who you are and with all of your power and strength, not to be hidden any longer and not threatening to anyone, not threatening at all to anyone. I work with incredibly powerful women. Mm-hmm. And you know them, you know, Marcy Shymoff and these brilliant women. Mm-hmm. And we don't threaten each other with our power. Mm-hmm. We support each other. Mm-hmm. Marcy is a mentor of mine. Dr. Sue is a mentor of mine. Lisa Nichols is a gem in my life that I'm so grateful for. And these are women supporting women. And I get to experience that. And I encourage that. Mm-hmm. Feel your power and experience it and let others shine around you. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
It's so good. And what I love about that is that you're also speaking to the importance of having a mentor. And both those women, I'm familiar with them. I've had Marcy on this show. They are, from my understanding, embodied women. And you want to choose a mentor or a coach or a guide that knows themselves, their shadow included, and then therefore can know you. Because if they don't, then they can't really serve you, right? They don't have the capacity. But specifically, Dr. Sue, are you kidding? Dr. Sue Mortar is who we are referring to. I just want to let my audience know. Oh. She is the epitome of a woman embodied, soul embodied. She just doesn't even have to say.
So she teaches. She teaches embodying your soul. And that is who she is. She's one of the most grounded people I know. Yeah. Constantly in her body and in awareness of this person, of who she is. And just being around her is, for me, grounding and the salt of the earth type of person. And she's constantly in touch with herself and intuition.
Mm-hmm. What I love about that so much is that, you know, I look at just the short list of the 6,000 interviews that you've had, but I'll just share some names that really snagged my soul. And I know we'll speak to our listeners and viewers. Bruce Lipton. Come on.
Yes.
Dr. Joe Dispenza, Louise Hay. I mean, you had your book published through her publishing company. Greg Braden, Wayne Dyer,
yes.
Deepak Chopra, and then Maya Angelou.
Yes. I just talked about her yesterday. I got to interview Maya Angelou.
I know. I listened to it and I'm like, are you kidding? How was that for you? Because this is what I'm trying to get to and make my point really quickly is that you're still seeking out mentorship, even though many seek you out, right? And I love that. I find so much more trust in women that have reached a certain status, are humble, leaning into their authentic voice, sharing their real stories. These are the lessons that I'm working out now. And here's why this is so important, right? And yet I seek these mentors, and yet you still mentor others. Like, it's a domino effect, right? It's the butterfly effect. And so I honor your path, but out of those conversations, I'd love to hear about Maya Angelou. And do you have a favorite that really stands out?
Well, I am a lifelong learner, as are many of your tribe. And I'm never out there saying I know everything. I'm always going to learn. And it's so interesting. I reflect back maybe 20 years ago. No, it had to have been 30 years ago when I was just getting in the job market. And I went through an interview. And I said to the person that was interviewing me, was like the president of a production company. And I said, look, I'm a lifelong learner and I really want to learn. And I did not get the job because, and I thought, what? And he said that to me. He goes, I don't want someone who's learning. I want someone who knows what they're doing. And I'm like, wow, two different models of the world, right? Mm-hmm. I have always been a learner because I absorb so much from people. And I love that. And of course I know what I'm doing, but I don't know. Maybe I should have said, I didn't know what I was doing when I was 20.
It was perfect. It was divine intervention. You were not meant to be an employee.
Barely not. Barely not. And it was, you know, for me, it was really clear that like Wayne Dyer was the same exact way. So Wayne, he was my mentor. He wrote the foreword to my book. I remember when he called me and he read me the foreword, I literally dropped to my knees. I was in tears because he saw me
better than I could have ever seen myself. And that was his superpower. He saw people better than they could see themselves. Mm-hmm. He was a lifelong learner. In his heart, he said to me once, he said, "I'm always going to be that little orphan boy who was never accepted." Mm-hmm. And he just pinches himself all the time that he had the life he had. Mm-hmm. And he's a huge, strong influence on my life still. Mm-hmm. That I talk to Wayne all the time because he is still learning. Mm-hmm. He might have passed and drifted, mm-hmm. you know, into that light, which he always talked about being. Mm-hmm. The light was drawing him all the time. And he finally went there and he forgot to come back. But had been in incredible communication with myself and his family. And I feel that he was probably one of the ones that I listen to the most. I have a little altar here next to me of Wayne's books and his these glasses that he was on stage once, he forgot his glasses and I lent him my glasses. So I have the glasses there. I just have like this little shrine. Area. Because,
to the man who touched you so deeply and continues to. I mm-hmm. also noticed that you recently had his daughters on who wrote The Knowing, right? Were the lessons that they learned, and I had them on here as well. And the way that Wayne Dyer shows up in my life, just so that I can share with you, is he is definitely a teacher for me on the other mm-hmm. side of the veil. Mm-hmm. The way that he'll really show his presence is always through tech glitches, but not just small ones, really, really big ones. So I had a woman tell me that like 4 years ago, and she was like, "And you're going to have his daughters on your show." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And his daughters, she said specifically what his daughters are going to ask me for. They literally verbatim asked me for that very thing, which was really interesting. But then she said, "Look for his presence and ask him for what you need clarity on when you're experiencing really big tech glitches." This is actually the second time I've even talked about this, because I talked about it with Serena when she was on the show. Guess what happened when she shows up on the show? Everything goes out. To the point where she had to log off her computer, log back on her phone, no power in their condo in Florida. She had to go out and catch the light from the parking lot, from like a street lamp, to somehow be in the window and have a little bit of light on her face. And it was wild. Like, we didn't give up. It was like 13, 14 times. And she's like, "Oh, my dad is here. My dad is very much." And I was like, "So he shows up." She's like, "Oh, it's always tech glitches." I can feel right now. Are you getting anything right now?
Yes, yes. I'm seeing that experience, because I have spoken to so many people who Wayne still communicates through, and it's random people. And I do know that he, if anyone knew how to do it, he would have been the one to know how to do it. Yes. And even when I was interviewing Anita Marjani once, who was also very close to him, yes. In our interview, this strange beam of light was coming across her face as if it was a shadow from the blinds that were shut and the sun had set.
Whoa.
And the light was on her face the entire interview. And we just laughed and laughed and we're like, "Wayne's here." That light stayed on her the whole time.
It gives a whole new meaning to Wayne's world, doesn't it?
I know, right? Wayne's world. So we see you out there. We ask you for help. We ask you for guidance. We ask, you know, the universe for help and guidance.
And I also want to just express my forever abiding gratitude to Wayne Dyer, you know, for the beautiful gifts and energy, really. It was the way in which he would show up to serve. And everyone felt like they were the most important person in his life. All 8 of his children, right? And anyone else that ever had the privilege of knowing him. So what a blessing for you.
Yes, and such a challenge for his children. I feel their angst all the time. That was incredibly difficult. Yeah. I mean, that was just too sudden for 8 children. I mean, that was hard.
Yeah, and then one, I think she had to join her dad, right, last year. So
yes.
So there was that, and that was...
That's never going to be easy. I don't want to make light of that.
It's not. Yeah, it isn't. You know, you shared something on your website, though, just to kind of switch gears, but stay in the same field. You said, "I can't tell you how many times the Aware Show has saved my life." Mm-hmm. And I've never looked at this show that way, but I have said that I have grown and shifted and transformed into 3,000 different types of human beings, right? Just in the evolution, you know, of it all, because of everything that I learned and or the friendships that you'll create and then that can lead to collaborations. I never expect it, but this show has changed me, and I never thought of it as saving my life, but quite frankly, that's exactly what it is. So can you share in how the Aware Show has changed or saved your life?
It's really constantly reaffirming my faith in humanity. Mm. I get to listen to people tell their deep story. I also do story coaching. From years and years of doing broadcasting, I've learned how to hear people's stories in a way that can serve themselves and others. Mm. And the stories, oh my goodness, the stories I've heard, let alone the people I've interviewed, but the people that I've coached, people are incredible. They are so resilient, mm-hmm. and what they've been through is so intense, mm-hmm. and that they've come out of the other side to say, hey, this is me. This is what I've learned. Here's the elixir. I'd like to share it with the world, please. Mm-hmm. And this is how I want to do it. It's so healing for themselves, and it's so healing for other people. And then it drives them right into their purpose. And even if it's a side hustle, they really love sharing stories that inspire other people. And I think that's one of the things that inspires me the most, mm-hmm. is watching other people that have come through incredible difficulty and come out the other side to teach.
Mm. So what will you be teaching as a result of a most momentous 2023 where you really had to call in the depths of your resilience?
Yeah. Presence. Mm. Leaning in is my biggest, you know, me and Sheryl Sandberg out there with, with her, she, you know, she's leaned in many ways. She wrote the book Lean In. And, I would like to just remind people to lean into difficult conversations. Mm. As hard as it may be, doing it for yourself, to look at your level of responsibility in the conversation and own your power. Mm. Take it back, mm. in a gentle, loving way. Take it back and don't operate with depositing your power everywhere else and funding your energy to everything else. Mm. All of a sudden, your bank account will be drained. Mm-hmm. And what you want to do is redeposit that power back into yourself by leaning into conversations and reclaiming yourself through that experience. That is what 2023 taught me.
So beautiful, Lisa. Is there an example of a difficult conversation, maybe yours, or maybe an example that we could utilize to kind of share a couple of touch points on how to even begin to know if, well, we all know when we need to have one, but we'll call it confrontational, right? And I'm like, does it have to be confrontational, or can we just have it be conversational, right? Like, but I'm usually pretty comfortable with those types of things. I got my other shadows, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
What would be some ways in which you would suggest as a starting point to, and how big, right? Because there's different levels of leaning into the difficulty.
Right.
Starting with the smaller ones would seem to be, right, make the most sense. But what would you share on that?
I think the biggest one was with my husband. You know, he is so supportive of me, and I was not seeing that. He has done so much in his way, but it wasn't the way that I needed it to show up, mm-hmm. but it was the way that he was able to deliver it. Oh. And when he became literally my arms for 3 months, that's a big lesson. Like, he had to do everything for me and, you know, everything. And I, you know, couldn't use either arms or they wouldn't have healed. So he, you know, bathed me and helped feed me. And oh my goodness, it was the ultimate in me learning to lean on him for support, that he was unwaveringly in giving.
Oh, wow.
Unwaveringly
waiting for that opportunity for a long time with you.
Yeah, I think so. You know, he married a very strong person and he knows that. We've always joked about our relationship being he's the rock and I'm the butterfly. And I float around and I come and land on the rock every now and then, and I float around and he's always the rock, right? He loves being the rock and I love being the butterfly. He supports my butterfly, I support his rock. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, it isn't, we go separate, you know, separate directions. Like, I go off and travel a little bit too much, and then he's like, where'd my wife go?
She's butterflying a little too well right now. And then the butterfly lost her wing.
And we've been married 23 years. And here's the thing. We do almost everything together. We ride together. He's an incredible cyclist. I follow him around. We worked at home together. His office is in the house. My office is in the house. So we're constantly together. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, but it could be, you know, we could like take each other for granted a little bit.
Yeah.
So it was that. It was like realizing that he's here for me in many, many more ways than I realized.
That's so beautiful. And I'm literally imagining, right, the butterfly and her wings were clipped for 3 months. And so you couldn't take flight, and that humility that would come over, and otherwise very powerful, very fluttery butterfly, right? Who needs to express herself by taking, you know, flight. Soul. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
What a beautiful gift. I love
travel. I mean, it's like one of my favorite things is travel.
Even after the lockdowns and all of the even deeper restrictions and all that, it's still like a thing that you love. Yeah.
100%. I love it because it changes your state.
Yeah, for sure. Just having a difference of environment for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You know, as we begin to round this conversation out for today, I would love to take a moment to shine a light on something new that you are offering your community. I love it so much. I cannot believe that someone hasn't thought of this sooner, but of course it had to be you. Rising Stars. Can you expand on that? Because I feel we might have some rising stars in this audience listening.
Yes. This is for anyone who has that story that they want to share with the world, but they don't know where to share it. Mm-hmm. And I have for 20 years created and cultivated a platform of incredible personal development audience members who now have become the experts, by the way. They've been listening to the Jack Canfields and the Wayne Dyers for long enough that they're now rising in their own level of expertise, and they want to share it with the world. And so I've created a division of the Aware Show's YouTube channel called The Aware Show Presents Rising Stars. Mm. And I take you through two coaching sessions, which help you cultivate the story, your own story, your healing journey. How do you pay it forward? And how do you ignite the possible human in everyone else? Mm. And then I interview you on my platform, make you shine in your brightest way, and really connect your message with the audience, which is my expertise. Mm. And then it lives there forever. You can direct people towards it. If other people want to interview, you can share that link with people. You can share it with anyone. I mean, it just lives there forever. And it's just a wonderful way to share your message with the world. You know, some of these shows out there don't have people on that don't have big, you know, followings and books and all of that. I'm here to allow that rising tide to lift all boats. All of our audiences that are listening have created their own version of their teachings, or they want to share it with the world through what they've learned of their story. That's the biggest credibility in the planet, is your own story. Yeah. Tell it, share it, teach what you've learned. Mm. It's one of the most incredible feelings to express yourself like that. And it deepens your purpose if you really want to help people with it.
Mm, that's so beautiful. It reminds me of something that I heard a woman say that became a conscious publisher over the last few years, as a lot of people were kind of shifting into what's more authentic, right? And she said, please share your story, because one day your story will be the sacred text of future generations.
Yes.
And it feels very aligned with what you're talking about here. And also, it's, even if you don't feel like you have an expertise, I got no skin in the game, FYI, if anyone's wondering. Like, I make no money if you enroll with Lisa. I just love to bring people on that have opportunities and invitations that feel very aligned with where we are deepening as people tune into this show. But it doesn't even have to be an expertise, right? It's just honoring your story.
Mm-hmm. There's one woman who went through this healing mental illness through art.
Wow.
And all we did was talked about the art. Mm. She didn't sell programs. She didn't want to talk about, you know, anything. She just wanted to express herself because she never had a voice. And that's what the interview was really all about.
Mm, yes. Yeah.
That was her experience to express herself. It was intense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's it. You know, instead of focusing on the mental illness or what's wrong or what's broken or how damaged is she, it's like she's focusing only on what brings her joy and what is in her intrinsic gifts. You know, this creativity, it's so, so beautiful.
Yes.
Well, is there anything else that you wish you would have been asked or that you feel compelled to share?
No, just the website. Can I share that with us?
Yes,
on the awareshow.com/risingstars.
Yes. And I should have mentioned to you, we will make sure to link all of the specific links in the show notes. And then we'll link everyone to your YouTube channel, to your website, and all the beautiful places to connect with you. This has been fast. It's been narrow and deep. And it's exactly what I was hoping that we would have a 2.0 on.
Me too. Really,
ultimate message for me is, and I'm curious in your final thoughts, what the ultimate message about this conversation means for you. Actually, let me not steal away from your thunder. What would you say is the theme from today's conversation?
Honestly, I was just looking at you and how brilliant you are. Oh. Honestly, you really are. You're a bright light and you're very talented and you have a super incredible mind. And I just really am grateful to collaborate with people such as you. So thank you for that.
I am super touched by that. I didn't expect to hear that. And I don't know why, but it moves me deeply to hear you say that.
I see you.
I feel seen right now. And I felt seen in New Orleans when we had that most magical moment. And I was like, can we recreate that? And you just brought us there. So thank you for seeing me and allowing me to see you.
Yeah.
Because this is a layer of you that is longing to also be seen, to for you to lean into, and you're doing it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much for coming on Fire and Soul, my friend.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Thank you for listening to Fire and Soul. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite pod player. And if you'd like to connect on social, you can find me anywhere at Michelle Sorrow. Or if you'd like to reach out to me directly, you can at fireandsoulpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.